breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to ask, what is the result of the impeachment trial so far? Where is it going? Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? Well, you know what the result is in terms of when the Senate votes as to whether or not to remove President Trump from office. They're going to vote no. And it will probably be very, very close to what the other votes were, all 11 votes that they took last night. The reason they only took 11 votes and not 12 is because Mitch McConnell gave in on two of the points that the Democrats had been pushing. And again, Mitch McConnell never gets credit for being really a remarkable majority leader. With a very slender majority, it's 53-47. He has been able to approve two justices to the Supreme Court, about 140 other federal judges that Trump has appointed, excellent appointments. He's been able to clear that tax cut bill, which has helped our economy. I don't think there's any question that it has. Mitch McConnell has just been outstanding. And he showed it again yesterday because, and apparently in conversation with Senator Collins, a member of his caucus, who is facing a very tough job in her campaign for re-election, which is coming up this November. It's this year. Susan Collins said, hey, Mitch, give in to the Democrats on not having this go to the middle of the night. And he said, okay. So they are now doing it with, there's going to be 2 days, 3 days of this instead of 2 days. So we have one extra full day of impeachment. So that, in other words, each side is getting 24 hours to argue their case. And that what that means now is it's going to be spread out over 3 days, not two. So in other words, you don't have to do 12 hours each time. It's still going to run late at night. It's still going to take forever. It's still going to be tedious. And it's still going to lead to exactly the same place where there are 53-47 votes. The vote, almost certainly, it seems to me, unless Doug Jones of Alabama decides to vote to sustain the president, which I think really is the right vote, because all the votes yesterday were strictly along the party lines. None of Mitch McConnell's 53 Republicans deserted him. None of Chuck Schumer's 47 Democrats, which also include the two independents, Bernie Sanders of Vermont and Angus King of Maine. None of the 47 Democratic caucus deserted Chuck Schumer. So really, can we get this done? There's two stories about the ratings here, and neither ratings story is particularly surprising. Fox News beat all cable and broadcast networks in Trump impeachment trial ratings on day one. Fox News yesterday topped all broadcast cable networks in coverage of the first of President Donald Trump's impeachment trial, first day in the Senate. According to early Nielsen data, the channel outpaced not just CNN and MSNBC, but NBC, CBS, and ABC in both total average viewers and average viewers in the key coveted age demographic of 25 to 54. Yeah, if you're over 54, they don't care about you on TV. Well, actually, they do. And generally in Fox News, Fox News does very well with the demographic of 54 to deceased. They own the demographic of over 100. And I mean, just look at the ads. And good for them. They did very well, not just with old timers, but with people under the age of 55. That's dramatic. Now, why do you think that is? I do think that even though Fox News very clearly, and you can look at some shows on Fox News, you know where they stand. And they are going to be rah, rah, rah. Yeah, Trump. Hooray, hooray, hooray for Trump, 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 Trump. But still, it's not quite as universal. At least there are some other voices that turn up on Fox that are a little bit more balanced. I don't think you see that much on CNN or MSNBC or CBS or NBC or ABC either. The other story involves CBS, and this I think is actually pretty funny. CBS was the first major network to break away from President Donald Trump's impeachment trial in the Senate yesterday, allowing its viewers to watch their favorite afternoon fare instead of a thrilling debate over a proposed amendment as to whether or not they would be allowed to subpoena White House documents. The amendment was voted down. But by the way, that was another concession that Moscow Mitch, as his opponent once called him, that Mitch McConnell actually allowed, was all of the formal records that were compiled in the House of Representatives during their impeachment investigations. That is all now formally part of the Senate record. In other words, they're not keeping anything out. They're not hiding it away. All of that House research and the interviews and the data and the documents, that all is gone over to the Senate. And that was also the right decision. Okay. So CBS decided we're not going to allow the network to give up the Bold and the Beautiful or the Young and the Restless or whatever soap operas they have in the afternoon. They cut away from the impeachment trial more than 10 hours early. Yeah, they cut away at 3:15 Eastern time. The decision illustrated the on-the-fly judgments. This is reported by ABC News, their competitor. This illustrated the on-the-fly judgments television executives will face every day of the trial, juggling concerns over millions of dollars in advertising revenue, news purists cognizant of the weight of history, and, most serious of all, angry soap opera fans. Tweets of incredulity at CBS for abandoning history, mixed with apparently hundreds of angry tweets from angry daytime TV fans. "Why do you have impeachment on all platforms?" tweeted one viewer, who was more interested in watching The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful. A CBS representative noted the network's new streaming service was continuing to carry the trial for all those in Traction and Insomniacs and others, and that network affiliates were given the choice to continue to show the Senate if that's what their executives preferred. I think that's very unlikely. Jeremy just asked the ultimate question. Could impeachment get so boring that they drop it on C-SPAN? No. I believe C-SPAN still takes federal money to cover all of this. But see, if they had dropped off early like CBS did, they would have missed some of the crackling excitement that only began to emerge last night around midnight when Jerry Nadler, for instance, bundle of charisma that he is, took the floor and he didn't quite accuse the Republicans of treason, but he came awfully close linguistically and substantively. Listen.
The president is on trial in the Senate, but the Senate is on trial in the eyes of the American people.
How many times have we heard that?
Will you vote to allow all of the relevant evidence to be presented here? Or will you betray your pledge to be an impartial juror? Will you bring Ambassador Bolton here? Will you permit us to present you with the entire record of the president's misconduct? Or will you instead choose to be complicit in the president's cover-up? So far, I'm sad to say, I see a lot of senators voting for a cover-up, voting to deny witnesses, an absolutely indefensible vote, obviously a treacherous vote. a vote against an honest consideration of the evidence of the, against the president, a vote against an honest trial, a vote against the United States.
Okay, a vote against the United States and a treacherous vote. Okay, what is a treacherous vote? It's one that amounts to treachery. What's a synonym for treachery? Let's see. Treason? That's a death penalty offense. I mean, a treacherous vote? Really?
Gerald Nadler. I've known him a long time. He's a sleazebag. Everybody knows that.
President Trump didn't like it. Jerry Nadler was undeterred. He continued.
Real trial, we know, has witnesses. We urge you to do your duty. Permit a fair trial. All the witnesses must be permitted. That's elementary in American justice. Either you want the truth, or you must permit the witnesses, or you want a shameful cover-up. History will judge, and so will the electorate.
Okay, this actually kind of woke up some of the opposition here. Pat Cipollone, who is the president's White House counsel, who is helping to lead this fight for the president of the United States, he's in charge along with Jay Sekulow. And he hit back at some of Jerry Nadler's excessive language. Listen.
Members of the Senate, we came here today to address the false case brought to you by the House managers. Sorry. We've been respectful of the Senate. We've made our arguments to you. And you don't deserve, and we don't deserve, what just happened. Mr. Nadler came up here and made false allegations against our team. He made false allegations against all of you. He accused you of a cover-up. He's been making false allegations against the president. The only one who should be embarrassed, Mr. Nadler, is you, for the way you've addressed this body. This is the United States Senate. You're not in charge here.
No, he's not in charge. But this is exactly what John Roberts was responding to when a little bit later in the evening, a little bit later in this long day's journey into night, Chief Justice Roberts admonished, and he used the term admonished, scolded, in other words, both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, because for both sides, they were making this not a point of arguing constitutional interpretation or the facts of the case. One of the striking things about this is no one really is in doubt about the facts of the case. Why? Because the president, very early on in this process, released the memorandum of the phone call. It's not an exact transcript. We all know that. But it is a memorandum of the phone call. So we know what was actually said. So what people are arguing about here really is interpretation. It's not who did what to whom. And Pat Cipollone went on to make the same kind of accusations of bad faith and lack of patriotism and undermining democracy, make the same case against the Democrats that the Democrats were making against the Republicans. Listen.
What happened, Mr. Nadler? What happened? The American people pay their salaries, and they're here to take away their vote. They're here to take away their voice. They've come here and they've attacked every institution of our government. They have attacked the president, the executive branch. They have attacked the judicial branch. They say they don't have time for courts. They have attacked the United States Senate repeatedly. It's about time we bring this power trip in for a landing. President Trump is a man of his word. He made promises to the American people, and he delivered over and over and over again.
Okay, that's, of course, great for the Trump campaign. Is that actually really relevant here? It's not. And again, when he attacks the Democrats for undermining our institutions, and they attack Trump for undermining our institutions, what all of this goes back to is the idea that nobody is arguing about what happened. What happened is Trump had a phone call with Zelensky, and he had Rudy Giuliani running all over the Ukraine trying to get information on Joe Biden and Burisma and corruption in the Ukraine. And the idea that is somehow in dispute is foolish on both sides, because that's what happened. Now, the question is, what is there about that pattern of facts that everybody acknowledges that's impeachable? But Cipollone goes way beyond that and says this.
And they come here and say, with no evidence, spending the day complaining that they can't make their case, attacking a resolution that had 100% support in this body, and some of the people here supported it at the time. It's a farce, and it should end. Mr. Nadler, you owe an apology to the President of the United States and his family. You owe an apology to the Senate. But most of all, you owe an apology to the American people.
Okay, the line here, and of course Nadler isn't going to apologize. Trump almost did today on something that he said. It's a soundbite from Davos. And he was reflective, actually looking at some of what was going on. And what he talked about John Bolton, he said he may have left with some bad feeling. Trump said something I've never heard before from Trump. He said, that's my fault, not his. Have you ever heard the president say anything like that before? We can play that again a little bit later this hour, because it's remarkable. And it's actually encouraging. And who knows what happened between Bolton and Trump? They're both obviously very emotional and passionate people. This was also an attack on Nadler from Jay Sekulow on the Senate floor. Listen.
Chairman Nadler talked about treacherous. At about 12:10 a.m., January 22nd, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee at this body, on the floor of this Senate, said executive privilege and other nonsense. Now think about that for a moment. Executive privilege and other nonsense. Mr. Nadler, it is not nonsense. These are privileges recognized by the Supreme Court of the United States. And to shred the Constitution on the floor of the Senate, to serve what purpose? The Senate is not on trial. The Constitution doesn't allow what just took place.
He's, of course, to say executive privilege and other nonsense is outrageous. And honestly, this argues very, very passionately, it seems to me, for why Jerry Nadler should be kept under wraps for as much of the ongoing debate as possible. There is some very good news about the United States and developments in the United States, and also a surprise speaker, not the President of the United States, who gets a mixed reception in Davos. Who is it? We'll get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show.
Michael Medved.
I've known him a long time. He's a sleazebag. Everybody knows that.
And on the Michael Medved Show, I know it's tough to believe that the United States is specially blessed by God when you're watching the impeachment hearings, which are not inspiring. This does not make our country look good. And frankly, if you can remember back or even look back at the Clinton impeachment trial, it was also not one of the proudest moments for the Republic. I mean, partially it was the nature of the charges against Bill Clinton. And unlike President Trump, Bill Clinton had actually committed crimes. The question is, were those crimes impeachable? And every single Democrat, every single one of the Democrats voted, no, it's not impeachable. And a number of Republicans agreed with them. And so the impeachment fell short for President Clinton. In any event, the basic point that I wanted to make is that even if you believe that God has withdrawn, tempered his special blessing for America, it's important to find out the truth about the history of that blessing, which is why I wrote God's Hand on America. You can get your signed copy. The book is still very, very much current. Talking about it, I'm going to be speaking about it in St. Louis coming up in just a little bit less than a week. And you can, when you order your own autographed copy at michaelmedved.com, you get 3 completely free months as a Medhead member, which gives you access to this radio program 24/7 commercial free. And free. Just go to michaelmedved.com and order your copy of God's Hand on America. Okay, I had mentioned the statement that Trump made, which was very uncharacteristic and encouraging. He's talking about the idea of there might be some problems, he thinks, and certainly he's right about this, with John Bolton as a witness as part of the Senate trial. Even though President Trump has said he wants witnesses and information to come forth, but he said this about how he split up with his one-time national security advisor. Listen.
He knows other things, and I don't know if we left on the best of terms. I would say probably not, you know. And so you don't like people testifying when they didn't leave on good terms, and that was due to me, not due to him. And so we'll see what happens. But
okay, that was due to me. And not to him. That's actually acknowledging some responsibility for something that didn't go well. And that's good. And it's appropriate. And I think it makes it much less likely that even if John Bolton does testify before the Senate, which who knows, that it won't be a disaster. But I'll tell you something that is a disaster regarding impeachment. When the proceedings are so boring and so repetitive, and the endless Democratic narration about these minute details of Ukrainian politics and diplomacy, when all of that is interrupted by a song which takes a dim view of impeachment, we received this song. And we'll share the entire ballad with you in its entirety. It sounds like this.
This impeachment is a sham. How does Trump get impeached when there's nothing to impeach him for? It's such a sham. Pelosi and Adam Schiff are liars, cheats, and more. President Trump does so much for our country. He works tirelessly for us all. And what do the Democrats do? Nothing. But they're unglued because they know they're going to lose. This impeachment is a sham.
What a sham. What a sham.
This impeachment is a sham.
What a sham.
Trump makes America great again.
Okay, is it saying that's number one with a bullet? Are you still allowed to say with a bullet? What's the name of the artist who wrote, sang, and produced it? Jeremy's not sure that the artist would want us to disclose. We'll send it out in our newsletter and post it up on our website. Maybe we'll restrict the name of that particular witness of the song. The song is called "Impeachment Is a Sham," and she sings on key. Greta Thunberg, not so much. Greta Thunberg, I think that's the way they say it in Swedish. She spoke to Davos and the Nobel Peace Prize winner. I know she's not, but she's undoubtedly a future Nobel Peace Prize winner. She is the Time Magazine Person of the Year.
How dare you?
She had this to say to the assembled leaders of business and industry in Davos, Switzerland.
The facts are clear, but they are still too uncomfortable for you to address. You just leave it because you think it's too depressing and people will give up. But people will not give up. You are the ones who are giving up. I wonder, what will you tell your children was the reason to fail and leave them facing a climate chaos that you knowingly brought upon them? That it seemed so bad for the economy that we decided to resign the idea of securing future living conditions without even trying? Our house is still on fire. Your inaction is fueling the flames by the hour. And we are telling you to act as if you loved your children above all else.
Okay, why does she continue to get these invitations? No, I'm serious. It's
how dare you?
You're in Davos, Switzerland. You're speaking to world leaders. Do we know, Jeremy, was President Trump there listening to Greta? Was he? Jeremy is guessing he may not have been listening, but he was there. I don't know if he's made up with Greta now. She changed her data on her social media based upon President Trump, and the entire matter of this attempt to induce guilt, when there really is very good evidence that we are making some progress, not immediate, instantaneous progress, but you never do that when you're talking about something about as big as climate change. We're making some progress, and the situation is not nearly as dire, your house is on fire, as Greta Thunberg suggests. What do you think Greta Thunberg's going to be doing in 10 years when she's 26? No, I'm serious. Well, she'll be a member of a parliament in Sweden. Will she be Secretary General of the UN? Will she be in graduate school somewhere? All unclear. What is clear is that there was a case in Hawaii, and it's a terrible situation that has actually caused the whole state to go into mourning, where two police officers were shot, and they were both young and heroic, and they were family people, and they were parents, and they were shot because they had been called to a home. The story illustrates one of the deeper problems we have, and the problem has nothing to do with the liberal agenda regarding guns. Hawaii has some of the very toughest gun laws of any state in the union, and yet there are these two cops who were shot to death. Why? Well, because Hawaii, like most states, refuses to take another problem seriously. We'll get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show.
Michael Medved
is a high-quality human being.
Here is a shocking survey. I mean, just your... going to fall out of your chair when you hear this. Headline: majority says impeachment trial won't change their mind. Okay, Is that even the point of the impeachment trial? Honestly, I am not sure what the point is. It's almost as if having carried on so long on this particular issue, the Democrats are too embarrassed to just give it up. But honestly, in terms of the future of their party, in terms of the future of the country, it would be better if this thing were brought to a close very quickly. We are 12 days away from the Iowa caucuses. And we may be very close, literally just days away from very important decisions about the alternative to Trump that one of the major parties is going to offer. And no, there are not likely to be major third or fourth or fifth parties this time. Lindsey Graham, who was one of those candidates who ran against President Trump for president, he's become, of course, one of the president's most enthusiastic supporters. He gave a press conference this morning, and he actually speculated on what would have happened if he had won the nomination and he had won the election and he were president today. How would he be handling this? Listen.
If I were the president, I wouldn't cooperate with these guys at all. I'm the same guy that said, you can't fire Mueller. I encouraged him to work with Mueller. Mueller is a man of the law. Schiff, Nadler, and Pelosi impeached this president in 48 days. I wouldn't give them the time of day. They're on a crusade to destroy this man. And they don't care what they destroy in the process of trying to destroy Donald Trump. I do care. So to my Democratic colleagues, you can say what you want about me, but I'm covering up nothing. I'm exposing your hatred of this president to the point that you would destroy the institution. Nobody would be saying this about a Democratic president if a Republican House had done this. You wouldn't even ask me that question. All of you would be in our face saying that there's a Democratic president and you're denying that person, he or she, a chance to go to court and litigate these matters because you hate them so much. It shows you how complicit people have become when it comes to Trump. Not one question about the idea that a Democratic-controlled House in 48 days impeached the President of the United States with a process where he couldn't have a lawyer, couldn't call a witness. And they hold it against him because he wants to object to turning over documents to them. You would be all over us. So let me tell you what's going to happen in November. This won't matter much. People are going to judge the president about what he's done and what he can do. And they're going to look at the Democratic alternative and ask, will I be better off with this person versus Trump? But I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember this for a very long time. No good deed goes unpunished around this place.
Senator Graham,
wait a minute. Working with my Democratic colleagues, I tried to give Mueller the space to do his job, and I told the president to his face, if it's proven you work with the Russians or you sought something from the Russians and got it, that's it for me and you. Now, the same people that patted me on the back are asking me to railroad the guy, to legitimize a process in the House that will destroy the presidency over time. I will not be part of that. And you need to ask yourself some questions. Would you be asking different questions if this were a Democratic president treated so poorly by a Republican House?
Okay, I think this is outstanding. I mean, and again, it's like Lindsey's moment of clarity with the Kavanaugh hearings. And I don't think, by the way, you can't compare this to the Kavanaugh hearings. The Kavanaugh hearings were a complete disgrace. And it was attacking Judge Kavanaugh for something that I am almost certain he didn't do. This is different because it involves something the president did do and something that was questionable, but is not impeachable. And again, we're not talking about something President Trump did in high school. We're talking about something he did while he was president, which makes it inherently more relevant. However, what Lindsay is saying about asking that basic question is, how would you be responding if this were your president, if this were Barack Obama or Bill Clinton? And concerning Bill Clinton, part of what's horrible here is seeing some of the people who defended Bill Clinton now going after Trump when there was actually a more clear basis for going after Clinton. The basis was he broke the law. And there was a special counsel who said he broke the law here and here and here and here, and he obstructed justice and he committed perjury. The special counsel's report said that. The special counsel's report on Trump said no, that the obstruction of justice, they made no recommendation of what to do, but they said that the evidence did not indicate that there was collusion with the Russians. So, I think Lindsay's frustration, I mean, the fact that he is now so regularly attacked in media because of his support for the president. I mentioned before this case in Hawaii, and it's been on my mind because we have friends and family. Actually, Diane's my brother-in-law is a oftentimes resident of Hawaii. But the story is a Hawaiian handyman with a history of run-ins with police and with neighbors and of mental illness, faced eviction. He then stabbed a woman and murdered two officers before the house that he was in burned down, taking seven other houses nearby in the conflagration. Police responding to a call for help at the location found a woman stabbed in the leg and the resident, a Yaroslav Hanel, he's a native of Czech Republic, began shooting. He killed officers Tiffany Enriquez, a 7-year veteran, and Kauliki Kalama, a 9-year veteran. Police suspect that Hano, who was in his 60s, and two women who have not been identified were inside the house when it caught fire. They were presumed dead. All of this is close to Waikiki. The fire destroyed seven homes and left others damaged. As it raged, the sound of dozens of apparent gunshots rang out. Neighbors described Hanel as mentally disturbed, and he did not have any gun permits, but he had a gun. Hawaii has some of the toughest gun laws in the United States. Residents can't buy firearms without permits approved by local police, who check databases to make sure applicants have not been convicted of felonies or misdemeanor crimes. People are also denied permits if they've been acquitted of crimes because of mental problems or have been diagnosed with significant mental, behavioral, or emotional disorders. This guy had mental problems that are very severe. He had all sorts of temporary restraining orders that had been issued to him by his neighbors. He hounded neighbors, hid in bushes, frightened them. He is clearly a mentally ill person who should have been committed. And the idea that Hawaii already has very tough laws on guns, but has very untough laws when it comes to mental illness in public, I think highlights one of the needs that we have as a country. And there's so many issues, yes, including the homelessness issue, that require more attention to the national crisis in mental health. We will continue talking about it and more, the craziness of a different kind in Washington, D.C. in this greatest